Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Executive Director, Game Developers Conference, Jamil Moladina.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Game Developers Conference. Change is a powerful, motivating idea this year in politics, but it is also at the heart of the opportunities in the game industry. Where the rotation of technology platforms, such as console transitions, used to underscore the rhythm of game development, today, creators and players have the potential to dramatically alter that structure. The old boundaries of gamer, developer, technology, and social connectivity are starting to shimmer at just the time when popular culture is turning back to games as the ultimate 21st century community art form. Now, dissolving those boundaries is core to the strategy of our first keynote speaker. Let me give you a bit of a background. He comes from a position of deep knowledge about development and its boundaries, as his game development career began as a programmer in 1991 and quickly moved to found Tiburon Entertainment in Florida in 1994. Tiburon is best known as the production and development studio behind the Madden series, of course, and has shipped 17 platinum hits, selling well over 50 million units. In 1998, the studio was acquired by Electronic Arts, becoming EA Tiburon. So in 2002, John left the Sun and headed up to the cold north to lead EA Canada, EA's largest development studio, which is responsible for such hits as FIFA Soccer and Need for Speed, among many others. More recently, John was COO of EA Worldwide Studios, helping oversee all of EA's product development. Late last year, he left his post as executive vice president and transitioned to the interactive entertainment business team at Microsoft, where he is a corporate vice president, managing all platform technologies such as console software, Xbox Live, and games for Windows. Everyone, please join me in welcoming John Shepard.
Thanks, Jamil, for that kind introduction. Boy, do I feel small up here today. It's an honor to be here today because I get to talk to all of you, the developers, about the amazing opportunities that are opening up in front of us. Now, before I get started, the team backstage suggested I get a couple things out of the way. As the new guy here at Microsoft, there's an expectation that I come out with a gaming tattoo or give away a truckload of HDTVs. Sadly, I have neither. No tats, no TVs. Really, what I do have, in my opinion, is one of the best jobs in the industry. As head of Microsoft's Live Software and Services team, I get to deliver to you the best development tools and best online services in the industry. As a former developer, I couldn't be more excited about this new role I get to play. Like many of you, I started out as a hobbyist programmer, more specifically a self-taught assembly language programmer on the Apple IIe way back in the day. I remember programming 6502 with Merlin Assembler, dialing into BBSs with my Novation AppleCat 202 modem, and spending all sixth period talking about the latest computer games in our makeshift computer lab. Those were great days. However, little did I know, all that fun stuff would land me a pretty good gig in the industry. My first real job in real game was Desert Strike for the Super Nintendo. Good stuff. All that fun stuff fit in an 8-megabit cartridge. That would be 1 megabyte. We were styling back then. But while I was programming that by day, I also played games at night, especially the Madden games. When Madden came out, it was a great game on the Genesis, one of the best head-to-head games for the time. Then, of course, the sequel came out, and you had Madden 92 that had the ambulance where you could rush the quarterback. He'd get injured, the ambulance would come out, he'd take your injured QB away, and you could play with your backup QB. Some old-school folks remember that. Good stuff there. Well, you know, as a SNES programmer, I felt the SNES was a little inferior. After all, the Genesis ran at a nice 60 frames per second. The SNES, about 12, sadly. So I pushed hard. Let me work on this game. Happily, I got that chance. Well, I called the Madden Weekend. I got the source code on a Thursday, and they said, see what you can do by Monday. Now, by Monday, we had the game running to 30 frames per second. And the good news then is we got 4 more months to finish that game. So my first game was Madden 94. Very, very proud of that achievement. The good thing is I got to relive that achievement many times over at Tiburon, where we shipped many versions of Madden. Boy, things have changed, though, since those days. The industry has gone from 2D to 3D. We've gone from cartridge to optical disc. Development teams have gone from just a couple people to well over 100. And production budgets have gone from the tens of thousands to the tens of millions. But for all of these changes, one thing stayed the same. The industry has continued to grow thanks to you, the content creator, the game developer. And that's true whether you're a professional. That's right, some claps out there. Professional and amateur. You guys are driving the industry. You know, up until 6 months ago, I had this poster on my wall. Some of you old school folks might have remembered it. It's one of Electronic Arts' first ads. And as you can see, it says, "We see further." It celebrates the spirit of the developer, the artists who actually make the games. I like this poster because it's a powerful reminder that for all of the hardware innovations and all of the runaway growth of our industry, it's the developers that are the true pioneers of our industry. Now, in my new role as a platform owner, it's my top priority to invest in your success and creativity. And I'm glad to be working for Xbox, a platform I've long admired for pioneering new areas of our industry. The original Xbox invited the world to play games online by putting an Ethernet jack in every console. And it was also the first console to come with a hard drive right out of the box. When the Xbox 360 arrived, it ushered in high-definition gaming and connected gamers around the world, not only to their favorite games, but also to their friends and favorite movies and TV shows as well. It's innovation like these that have really driven the growth of our industry. Last year, our industry had its biggest year ever, racking up a whopping $18 billion in revenue. And that's just the U.S. alone. Quite amazing. Obviously, we're quite a mass medium. Now, you've probably heard for years that our industry is generating more revenue than the box office. We passed that hurdle years ago. What you might not know is that according to Jupiter Research, as of 2007, gaming is also bigger than the music industry on a global basis. Pretty impressive. By every measure, game sales, console sales, hours spent online, it was a blowout year. In fact, it was such a good year for us that we've been struggling to stay in stock ever since. Believe me, our strategy is to meet demand, so don't worry. More Xbox 360s are on the way. Now, one reason why the demand for Xbox 360 was so high is because of the absolutely phenomenal lineup of games you all delivered last year. Games like BioShock, an exclusive from the teams at 2K Boston and 2K Australia. Halo 3 from Bungie. Madden NFL 08 from EA Tiburon. Which, for the first time in a decade, sold more units on a non-Sony platform than anywhere else. That makes me smile quite a bit. Guitar Hero 3 from Neversoft. Assassin's Creed from Ubisoft Montreal. Mass Effect from BioWare. And Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare from our friends at Infinity Ward. And do you know one thing all these games had in common? These 7 titles each sold over 1 million units on Xbox 360 last holiday season. And they led the way toward a holiday season where Xbox 360 drove more software revenue than any platform in history. Games sell better on Xbox 360 because they simply play better on Xbox 360. But it's not just me saying that, it's the game reviewers. According to Metacritic, we have more titles rated 80 or above than the other two consoles combined. And when you look at titles rated 90 or higher, we more than double the competition as well. Of the highest rated games this generation, 7 are on our platform. And when you look at cross-platform titles, the majority are rated higher on Xbox 360 than any other platform. And why is that? It's because you, the developer, are developing first on Xbox 360 because we've got the best development tools and the best online service. You simply can do more on our platform. Now, one of the real pioneering things unique to Xbox 360 are Xbox Live achievements, which have changed the way people play their games. They chronicle your gaming history, and they're yet another piece of every gaming experience on Xbox 360 that is owned by the developer. Now, I remember how exciting it was when the 1,000,000th achievement was unlocked. Well, this morning, I'm happy to announce that the Xbox 360 community has now unlocked over 1 billion achievements. Pretty cool. But of course, the big innovation that I'm biased towards is Xbox Live. We're building an entirely new ecosystem online. You can try games before you buy, you can buy new games, and you can get more content for your favorite games. In fact, gamers have activated almost 20 billion points. That's more than $250 million spent online to date in our online marketplace. And this does not include Xbox Live Gold memberships. This is just the money that goes to the publisher for the additional gaming content they sell online. Xbox Live is also a place where developers can innovate in ways that involve the gaming community. One example of this is what Bungie has done with Halo 3 saved films. Now, a lot of you have been asking just how popular this feature is. We went and looked at last week's data, and the Halo 3 community is uploading approximately 100,000 pieces of user-generated content each and every day. To put that number in context, every day the Halo community alone is uploading 30% more content than all of the daily uploads on YouTube. 30% more than YouTube on a daily basis. A busy little community. Now, with opportunities like this, Xbox Live is truly changing our industry. And when you can combine that with our world-class development tools and support, Xbox 360 is the console of choice for creators of our industry. Now, let's take a moment to hear from some of these creators themselves about what it's like to develop on Xbox 360 and what they think of our platform.
You know, believe it or not, it's not the programmer's dream to get up and just like figure out how to make his game run.
It's not about technology as much as in the past, but more and more about tools.
The best part about working with Xbox as our development platform is that it really is part of the development process. Our 360 dev kits are all connected to the network. They're intimately tied to the content creation process, and they're as important on our artist's desk as their keyboard is.
I know that from talking to the programmers that the tools that came with the 360, you know, provided by Microsoft, enabled them to do things in a way they were comfortable already in doing them.
Just simple things like the 360 being able to sit on your network as a very nice network device and look at other people's devices internally when we test and feed that through the 360 to our network.
We don't have to worry about friends and matchmaking and OptiMatch and connecting people together. All of that is enabled by Live. And that allows us as game developers to just say, now what do we want to do? Not what do we have to do?
The best Xbox 360 developer feature probably has to go to Pix, where you can dock in and actually find out what's going on in the box and the hardcore timings and your thread timings and optimize to the hilt using that awesome tool.
XNA Game Studio is starting to be used quite a lot inside Ubisoft because one of the main advantages of XNA Game Studio is that it's a fast development environment, and when you want to iterate on your gameplay and try new things, it's faster than most things out there.
Bungie games, you know, right from the start, have always been about community. And that's a good fit for us with Xbox Live, because now Live is starting to move out from just being a network service that games can use to really be a community that's oriented around the players.
It's all about getting people together. It's about a community. You know, and music is such a powerful way to get people together. It's really what we're all about, and it's what Rock Band does, and, you know, Rock Band on the Xbox 360 really kind of makes that shine.
With Live, the main thing that we tend to do is downloadable content, and we found that people are very, very hungry for it.
For development purposes, DLC is, like, insanely good because, you know, game development's cyclical. Now the fact that you can actually have those people doing stuff that's rewarding to them and making actual content that you can release to actual fans and make actual money off of is great.
I don't know if everyone knows what points means yet. I actually had somebody tell me they think it's achievement points. So they're spending their achievement points and said, no, that's money. Then I think he stopped.
The record industry is really interested in what we're doing right now. You know, they're seeing Rock Band as a way to kind of solve their music problem. Just to give you an example, there have been over 3 million downloaded songs for Rock Band.
So we're constantly looking for ways to make the games bigger. There's another group out there that is making them bigger all the time, and that's the users. They take a game that's this big and exponentially grow it. They blow the doors off.
I don't think any of us can really predict what's going to happen in even the next 2 or 3 years in terms of the kinds of experiences we're going to see, but one thing I do know for sure is that someone is going to come out of left field with a deeply moving, really personal, but social and connected experience that's going to change gaming forever.
And that's why I'm so happy to be here today. As I mentioned, you're the ones that are driving our record growth in both revenue and innovation. But for all of this growth, I can't help but feel a little nostalgic for the industry that I knew 25 years ago, when all you needed to become a game developer was your father's computer and a good idea. That's why I'm so excited about the potential for Xbox Live Arcade and XNA Game Studio for up-and-coming developers. Just look at a title that we released 3 weeks ago on our service, Poker Smash. It was done by three guys scraping up cash from their friends and family and working out of their living rooms. And I'm glad they had that support, because it's a great game, and without that support, we might not otherwise have seen it. Now, at Xbox, I believe it's our mission to do everything we can to break down the barrier between the creators, all of you, and the consumers. Because for each professional developer in the industry today, there's thousands of amateur programmers out there with new ideas and new visions for their own ideas, for their own games. And they're chomping at the bit to break in. We've got to unleash this potential, and it'll take two things to make this happen. First, it'll take the democratization of game development. And it'll also take something else new, the democratization of game distribution. An awful lot of democratization going on today. Now, to shed more light on what this means for content creators and consumers alike, I want to invite to the stage a man of many talents. He's the head of our development platforms, and like me, he's also a self-taught programmer. But unlike me, he has a suave British accent, he has a lot less hair, and he bench presses about 400 pounds or one of me in each hand. Please welcome to the stage our chief XNA architect and Xbox bench press champion, Christopher John Satchel.
Thank you, John.
So as you know, XNA is a full range of software and services and tools that covers the spectrum of game development. We have tools for professionals who want to build their next AAA game experience, kind of like the ones John was showing, all the way to community, people building perhaps their first game experience as a hobbyist or an enthusiast. But today, I'm here to talk about the community side. 18 months ago, we revolutionized the industry by democratizing game development. For the first time ever, we unlocked our console so that the same console you would play those great blockbuster games on, you could make your own game on. And since the launch of XNA Game Studio, the response has been incredible. We've had over 800,000 downloads of the tool set. I want to put this in context. That means we have 20 to 30 times the number of people in the professional game industry regularly using our software. That's a lot of creativity and passion that we've tapped into out there. We also are working with almost 400 universities worldwide. And that's important for everyone. Because X&A Game Studio turned out to be a great way to get people excited about game development, which helps teach them science, computer science, engineering. And we need those people. We need a strong talent pipe. We all want to hire more engineers. We all want to hire more creative people. This is helping build that pipe so we can do that. But it's not enough just to release the software. We also needed to spur the creativity, get that momentum going, get that flywheel spinning. We did that last year with a competition called Dream, Build, Play. Kind of think of this as your sort of American Idol of video games. We gave everyone 4 months to build their very best game with X&A Game Studio. And when it was done, the results were incredible. We had over 200 games from all over the world. And as we went through judging, we realized, you know, the top 100 games were great games. The top 50 were excellent. The top 20, amazing. And our job as a management team was to choose the one person that would get the contract for Xbox Live Arcade and make that jump from community to professional. So we deliberated and we argued, and in the end, we did what any great management team would do. We completely wussed out and gave 4 away because we just couldn't make up our minds. But the numbers are great, but the numbers don't tell the real story. To tell the real story, you need to look at the people behind it. People like James Silver, who did everything on their game within that 4 months. And I want to introduce you to James this morning. And I'm going to do it via this video about James's life.
James? Hey, James. Larry Hurd from Xbox.com. How you doing, man?
Good. Awesome.
Good. I'm here to pick up the Gold Master for your game. You got it ready?
1 second.
Like most developers, he loves marketing.
James! How you doing, buddy? I got some great news for you. Now, I know you're going to love this idea just as much as we did. We decided to highlight your game at GDC this year. Yeah, I know. It's amazing news. You don't have to thank me all at once. So listen, buddy. We're going to need you to whip up a quick little demo piece for marketing.
Who are you?
Yeah, how long is that going to take you? Day? Two? Awesome, baby. Awesome. I love that enthusiasm. All right, I can't wait to see it. Look, I got to jump. Yep, just like crisscross, baby. All right, bye.
Son of a...
While James puts the finishing touches on his game, let's take a look at how this humble developer from Utica, New York, hit the big time. From a very early age, James was destined to develop video games.
We asked the kids to do a report on a historical leader, and James chose someone by the name of Peter Molyneux. To this day, I still don't know who Peter Molyneux is.
You were James's first girlfriend.
It was really doomed from the start. You said it was too corporate for him.
We had such high hopes for him. He was so bright. He could have got on at the Gap or sold shoes at Nordstrom or even been a product manager at Microsoft.
James. Oh, James. Yeah, he washed dishes for me. Yeah. He just didn't have the fire, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we had to let him go. Why, would he kill somebody?
How fitting that James's game would be a tribute to the very profession that failed to see his excellence. James, Major Nelson, I'm here to pick up the gold master of the game. You got it ready?
Finally ready.
Right on, man. You know, this is really exciting. This shows the power of what X&A Game Studio can do. Congratulations. But what I really want to do is I want to meet your team. Are they around?
You know, they're at an offsite today.
So there you have it. A guy from Utica, New York, former dishwasher on the cusp of greatness. He's living the dream.
He still has time to get into the training program at Macy's.
It's an inspiring story.
So now let me introduce you to the man himself, James Silver. Hey James, great to have you.
Great to be here.
Hey, you know, I've been a fan of Dishwasher like, ever since the pre-judging on Dream Build Play, and I hear you've got a cool multiplayer mode we can see now.
Yep, we're going to do some two-player co-op arcade.
Let's get this going. Make sure you make me look good.
There we are.
So tell me, what was the idea behind Dishwasher?
Well, the Dishwasher here, he's a crazy undead cyborg, or samurai, who's taking on these armies of evil cyborgs, and it's sort of a personal story.
You were attacked by cyborgs.
Well, about 3 years ago, I was a dishwasher at a restaurant, and at that time I convinced myself that the greatest story that I could ever make into a video game would be that of a dishwasher who goes crazy and kills everyone.
Well, the game's looking amazing.
Thank you.
But, you know, something I really wanted to ask you is, you know, how has your life changed since, you know, you won Dream Build Play?
The great thing is I can wake up at noon now. I've taken to wearing chef's pants around the apartment. And you know, about 6 months ago, I was at this point where I was like, James, you know, it's probably about time to grow up. But now, thanks to the magic of XNA, I can put that off for like another 5 years or so.
So we've stunted your maturity, we've dressed you in chef pants, and now you don't get up till midday. So we're making progress.
Oh, yeah.
But there's probably a lot of community guys out there in the audience who would love to make that jump like you did to professional. Like, any just good words of wisdom?
I would say only just start small. Don't go out trying to create an MMO or an FPS or something. Just start small. You'll accomplish it. You'll be proud of what you've done, and then you can build on that.
It's great. Well, I'm looking forward to this, James. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And I am. I'm excited about getting to play Dishwasher. I'm excited to play the other three finalists. But what about the rest of the games? There's a lot of them. I mean, isn't it a shame that those creators might not get an audience for their work? Isn't it a shame as gamers, there's all that creativity out there, you might not get to see and play? I think it's a shame. And I think we change all that, and we change all that starting today. Because today, I'm incredibly excited to announce, for the first time ever this year, you'll be able to have community games distributed through Xbox Live. This means you'll be able to take the 10 million people on Xbox Live and connect them with the thousands of gamers out there. This means as a gamer, you're going to have more choice than ever before. You've got AAA blockbusters, they're not going away. We've got Xbox Live Arcade. We also now have the best of community games. And as a creator, you have a huge audience with which to share your work. Now, if we're going to unleash this creativity, we need to put the power in the hands of the community. And as a wise man, who happened to be Ben Parker, Spider-Man's uncle, once said, with great power comes great responsibility. And we want to give you that power, and we're going to do it through democratizing game distribution. We're going to do it by putting the tools in your hands so as a community you can manage this content. And it's a simple process. Create, submit, review, and play. And it's not about constraining your creativity. I am not going to be the arbiter of what the community does. You as a community get to manage it. And it's really about some simple ground rules. We need to respect people's IP, just though we'd want our own creativity respected. We need to have content that's not massively objectionable to everybody else in the community. But beyond that, I want the creativity to flow. So let's take a look at this pipeline. We've talked about create a lot, so let's look at submit. The first part of submit is that you have a creator identity. Just how your gamer identity tracks everything about you as a gamer. Your reputation, your achievements, your gamer score. It really wraps you up as a gamer. Your creator identity does the same. You build your reputation, has a history of what you've developed, a history of how it's done. Really, as your fame grows, both with gamers and with your peers, this is what captures it. Okay, so now you have your identity. The next stage is you need to tell the community what's in your game. We are not saying don't have these things. What we're saying is, be honest about it. Tell people what's in your game so they can make an informed choice when they want to play. And the last part is, you submit your game to the service. Now, your job as a creator is done. Now it's on to review. Or more precisely, peer review. Because it isn't going to be us reviewing, it's going to be your peers in the Creators Club. And really, they have two things to do. The first, they're just looking for prohibited content. Are we respecting IPs? Is the content objectionable? Then, assuming that you pass that, the job of the peer reviewers is really just to say, yeah, this is a fair representation of the game. If I'd have played this game, this is what I would get. And once enough of them agree, you're now through to the last stage, what I think is the best stage. Now, 10 million people on Xbox Live get to play your game. And this means as a gamer, by the end of this year, we're going to have 1,000 games to play on Xbox 360. This means over the lifetime, we're going to have double the number of games we would have had because of all the creativity that exists out there. Now, we've loaded a couple of games up on our system here just so we could show you them. So I want to start by showing you a game called Jelly Car. Jelly Car is by a community member from here in California called Wallaber. And this is a great, fun game concept. Now, you'll notice, not a lot of time and attention on textures. That's cool. It's not what the game's about. It's about physics and soft body simulation. You'll also notice the audio budget was way below the texture budget. But it's a fun game. You know the best bit? You actually get to play this. Because I've sat in professional pitches most of my working life, and I've yet to have one person come in and say, we've got the best game ever. It's Tonka Toys meets Jell-O. I just need 20 million to finish it and we're done. But I get to play it here, that's cool. Let's look at another game. It's a game called Little Gamers, based on a web property by a guy from Belgium called Loic. Loic installs internet connections at his day job, night he makes games. Now, this game features one of the all-time great combos. Chainsaws and zombies. Now, there's another great combo out there, and that would be beer and shotguns. And we got a cool Matrix bullet time going on. I just love those little dudes. Now, if you know me at all, you know that I love Quake. And you know that I think any action game can be better with the application of rocket launchers. And we're also proving here that if your theme music's cute enough, you can get away with anything. Okay, well, that's two games we wanted to show you. But I want to give you a better sense of the kind of variety you see. So I just want to take a minute to show you a video and see some other community games. Now, the thing is, if you're anything like me, you sit there like this. That's good. I got to see another video. Don't get to play anything. Well, I am pleased to announce, as of right now, you can go to Xbox Live Marketplace, and you can download a free trial of Dishwasher, of Little Gamers, of Jell-O Car, and four other great community games. So as soon as this keynote's done, and please, wait till we're done, run to your nearest Xbox. Get on Live, get these games, and start experiencing what the community can do, because it will amaze you. Okay, right now I want to come back to the tools. You know, XNA Game Studio was a great tool for making game development easier. It was a great tool for democratizing development and for really opening up the Xbox. But it had another great feature. XNA Game Studio is a great cross-platform tool. You can build once, play anywhere. And I really want to show you what that concept looks like. So here's a game that we kind of developed as a test bed back in Redmond. And it's just, you know, a simple shoot 'em up called Zari. And here it is on Windows. A lot of our developers start on Windows. It's great. You have your laptop. You can just build. Then when you get home, you can move it over to Xbox 360. And often that's just a retarget. You don't have to write a bunch of new code. So we can show the same game now running on Xbox 360. Here's the thing, though. Great as this is, wouldn't it be even better if you could take this mobile? Like, let's say you had a device that had a really good screen, had a great touchpad input, perhaps a big hard drive, a lot of flash memory. Perhaps you have a device that's good with music or has wireless networking. In fact, perhaps if you had a Zoom, wouldn't it be cool if you could build XNA Game Studio games for your Zoom? Well, this year you can. Not only is it going to be on Xbox and Windows, you'll be able to build XNA Game Studio games on your Zoom. So I want to show you what that looks like. So we go into the games, and you'll see a few games come up, including Zari, the game we were just looking at. Now, one thing you won't get from this demo is this is a great gaming device. Like, you see the graphics, you hear the audio, but it's the control input that's amazing. Like, if you just want to see somebody smile, and they're a gamer, put this in their hands, and after 10 seconds, they're like, oh, man, this is great. So I just want to show you what it looks like. So you've got the same shoot 'em up that we were showing on Windows and Xbox. But of course, we are on a music device, so I should be able to just go and get a playlist. By the way, full disclosure, this is my marketing director's Zoom, so I have no idea what music's going to be on here. Mine's back in my pocket. So now we have the music and the gameplay mixing. But that is only part of it. Remember, your Zune is a wireless device as well. And with XNA Game Studio, you can build multiplayer gaming. So now you not only will be able to have games on your Zune, you'll be able to play multiplayer wireless games with your Zune. And this is the power of XNA, when you can take it from Windows to Xbox to Zune. Now, before I wrap up, I just want to bring all this back together. You know, in GDC 04, we got on stage and we talked about the vision for XNA. We have more than delivered that vision. We gave you a programming system that made it easier to build games. We opened up the Xbox 360 and democratized game development. We gave you a programming system that spans platforms, and we've just shown you where that's going. This year, we complete that vision. We democratize game distribution. We take the 10 million people on live, and we connect it with the thousands of creators out there in the community. And I think of this as gaming, created by the community, managed by the community, and enjoyed by everyone. But before I go, I just want to talk about professional game development for a moment. Because there's a lot of my organization, myself included, that are super passionate about giving the tools, services, and technologies that means professionals can build their next hit game. But here's the thing. You don't do that without partners. And I'm going to bring a partner on stage this morning. This is one of the leaders of the middleware industry. This is a company that not only has made their own mega hit games, they empower others to do the same. This is a company that pushed the boundaries of what we thought was possible on Xbox 360 and Windows. And this is a company I'm confident are going to do it again with the next generation of their technology. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Michael Capps from Epic Games to the stage to show off the next generation of the Unreal Engine running on Xbox 360. Michael, great to have you.
Thanks, Chris.
And I'm going to leave the audience in your capable hands.
I'll do what I can. I appreciate it, sir. Totally have to buy a Zune now. Okay, I'm Mike Capps. I'm the president of Epic Games. I hope there's a few Xbox fans in the audience today. One, all right. But you may remember a game we made for the Xbox called Gears of War that we did with Microsoft. We've had really good success. Thanks. I'm kind of proud of it. So we've had really good success with Gears and also Unreal Tournament. But as Chris mentioned, that's not all we do. We make the Unreal Engine, which has won the Game Developer Magazine's Frontline Award the last 3 years running. Our battle-tested technology is under the hood of, I think, some of the best games on the market, the best crafted, the most visually intensive, and I want to show them to you. Take a look. Wow, that stuff looks good. So BioShock and Mass Effect, you're going to be seeing them nominated for a lot of awards tonight in here. We wish them both a lot of luck because they make us look great. Lost Odyssey will be here pretty soon, too. So it's been about a year and a half since we made Gears of War and launched it, Holiday 06. A lot of people still consider Gears to be sort of the high watermark for technology and video game graphics. But we've been pretty busy since that 18 months ago when we launched the game. We've added a lot of awesome new features to the Unreal Engine, and we've really optimized it for the Xbox 360. So I want you all to do a little thought experiment and imagine what Gears of War might look like if we were to launch it today. And I'm going to bring Tim Sweeney out. He's our CEO, and he's going to give you a glimpse into that future, tell you about the Unreal Engine.
So now we're going to show you some of the things we've been working on since we shipped the original Gears of War game. We never stop working on new features in the Unreal Engine. It's always a work in progress. We're always adding more. So one of the major new things we've added is ambient occlusion technology. This technology enables us to add much more realistic dynamic shadows to scenes using a pixel shader technique. So a pixel shader traverses every single pixel in the scene and looks at how light reflects around and uses that to generate much more realistic shadow highlights on the objects in the scene. You know, so you see much more definition in individual objects and they pop out from the backgrounds. This technique works for characters as well. We've done significant work on the character pipeline. On the left here, you see Marcus Fenix as he appears in Gears of War. And on the right, he's being rendered in our new character pipeline. You see there's much greater contrast in the shadows, much greater specular lighting bouncing off of the thing. You see a lot more detail in the character overall. This is also a lot more efficient and enables us to render a lot more characters in scenes. Now, if you remember in Gears of War, you fought the Locust Horde, where the Horde consisted of maybe like five or six Locusts. But now we can really build scenes containing hordes of creatures. And here we have over 100 creatures running around in real time using flocking technology. We've also improved the water technology on Unreal Engine 3. Besides the realistic water physics simulation running underneath, we also have realistic specular and environment reflections bouncing off of the water, so it captures much more of the realistic liquidy feel you see there. We also have more dynamic interaction with the water, so more realistic sound effects, more realistic splashes using particle systems, and this scales to very large environments, so you can build your game taking place on a deserted island, or you can build that jet skiing game you always wanted to build using Unreal Engine 3. The engine now scales to much larger scenes like that. Now, Matinee is the system we use to build all of the Gears of War cinematics, you know, the real-time cinematics that play back in-engine. We've substantially improved this to give artists movie director class control over all of the objects in the scene, over cameras, over cuts. And we have a real-time preview now in-engine that gives you all the visual effects of the real cinematic at a level that's not even seen in Hollywood now in their preview tools. We've also incorporated Agia's soft body physics simulation tool, which enables us to simulate objects that are realistically elastic and fluidy, like you see with this cube of meat we built here. And you can see the player can interact with that, push little pieces of it around, and it's all very elastic and buoyant. This also scales well to fluids. So here you have fluids moving around with viscosity and surface tension, retaining their shape. This enables artists to build environments that are much more organic and real-worldish. You can also destroy them. So the thing that we do, after we spend a few years building a beautiful game world, the first thing gamers want to do is blow it up, and now they can do that. So we've implemented some real-time structural analysis tools in Unreal Engine 3 that can determine how objects break apart into pieces given stresses and strains. And here we have applied that so that we have a building built out of concrete with a steel structure underneath. And you can see the player can go around and blow holes in the concrete, destroy the structure of the level, while the steel remains underneath. This is just one of the tools that enables designers to create far more realistic and destructible environments in future games. And these are just a few of the things we've been working on in Unreal Engine 3. We expect to have a lot more over the coming years as we learn to take more and more advantage of the Xbox 360's hardware power. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Tim, Mike, and Chris. What you guys are doing with the Unreal Engine just looks great. Great news for developers on that platform and for our platform specifically. Having games, community games on Xbox Live is wonderful news for any budding programmer with a great idea. They finally have a distribution mechanism. But let's talk about what all that means for gaming in 2008. By the end of the year, we expect to have over 1,000 games for Xbox 360, making it the largest and most creatively diverse library across all platforms this generation. From action games to RPGs to the best sports games to anything else you want to play. That doesn't even include all the community games we expect to see contributing with community games on Xbox Live. Now this year, we'll have games from the biggest names and the best franchises in our industry. In the last 2 months, we've seen the releases of Burnout Paradise, Devil May Cry 4, and Xbox 360 exclusive Lost Odyssey from Final Fantasy creator Hironobu Sakaguchi. Next month, we'll see Pro Evolution Soccer 2008, the next Tom Clancy game, Rainbow Six Vegas 2, Major League Baseball 2K8, and Army of Two. But the hits keep coming all year long. On April 29th, we're thrilled to have Grand Theft Auto 4 from Rockstar Games on our platform on day one. Along with downloadable exclusive episodes on Xbox Live starting fall 2008. Let me say that again. On day one, with exclusive downloadable episodes on Xbox Live starting fall 2008. On top of that, we'll see other console exclusives like Halo Wars, Two Human, and Splinter Cell Conviction. And of course, there will be hundreds of games for sports fans, music fans, along with plenty of games for the whole family to enjoy. Now keep in mind, this is just February 20th, and these are just the titles that have been announced so far. Now, you know, it's one thing to talk about these games, but it's another to see them for yourselves. So I'd like to invite to the stage one of the best developers in the business, who's also been the biggest, one of the biggest believers in Xbox since our beginning. His games have a unique look and feel unlike anything else out there. From his work on the Dead or Alive series to his hit Ninja Gaiden, which was one of the top-rated games on the original Xbox with an average review score of 94. We are pleased to have him join us today all the way from Tokyo. Please welcome to the stage Tecmo Team Ninja executive producer Tomonobu Itagaki to show us the Xbox 360 exclusive Ninja Gaiden 2.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Tomonobu Itagaki, leader of Team Ninja.
最近一つ思うことがあるんですが、その日本のですね、ゲーム産業がちょっと元気がないなっていう、そういうことをよく耳にするんですけれども、日本にもですね、非常にエキサイティングなゲームがあるんだと、ということを皆さんに今日見てもらいたくて、それで東京からやってきました。
There's been something I've been thinking about a lot lately, which is people have been telling me that the Japanese gaming industry has lost a little bit of its vitality. But I'm not ready to give up just yet. In fact, I flew in today from Tokyo to show you that there is an extremely exciting game being developed right now in Japan.
そのゲームはですね、もちろん忍者ガイデン2です。で今日はこの GDC 用にですね、特別にビルドしたその実機をですね、持ってきていますので、今までそうですね、TGS とかいろいろありましたけど、どこでも見せていないそのパートの部分をですね、これからプレイしようと思います。
Now that game of course is Ninja Gaiden 2. Which we're developing exclusively for Xbox 360. Now, we've brought the newest playable build of the game with us here today, and we want to show off a new area of the game that's never been shown before. It wasn't shown at TGS, it wasn't shown anywhere else. And this is a special build here for GDC, so we hope you enjoy it.
それでは私の通訳兼大事なですね忍者ガイデン2のスタッフなんですが、アンディ君にですねプレイしてもらおうと思いますんで、正真正銘の実機のデモですので、ちょっと途中でトラブルがあったりとかですねした場合、ちょっとご容赦願いたいなと思います。じゃあアンディ君よろしくお願いします。
Now I'm going to have my translator and fellow Team Ninja, Ninja Gaiden 2 team member, Andy, play the game for you. That's my cue. So we're going to go ahead and start the demo. Now once again, this is running on real hardware. So this is a new stage, the Temple of Sacrifice. You know, this is what happens when you play on real hardware. Hold on just a second. Okay, I think we're back. Okay, so this is, once again, a brand new stage, and I'm going to be switching weapons up as I go along. I'd like to point out something real quick in the middle of the demo. Here we have a save point. Great to have those. Now I'm going to save here and watch what happens. You see this on the upper right-hand corner, we have a record mark. What this means is that as I'm playing, that's being recorded as a clip onto the Xbox 360. And then what you're going to be able to do is the best players in the world will be able to upload all of the clips that they have to the leaderboards, to Xbox Live, and then players around the world will be able to download that and see how the best players play the game. All right, now back to the demo.
Once again, thanks for bearing with me here. Must be a low battery. Okay, we're back.
Thank you. この忍者ガイデン2はですね、今 Xbox 専用タイトルとして、開発しています。で、今発表がありましたように、今年の6月の上旬に、全世界ほぼ同時期にですね、発売させていただくことにいたしました。
So once again, we're developing Ninja Gaiden 2 as an exclusive title for the Xbox 360. And as you saw at the end of the demo and here on the screen, we are going to ship the game in early June around the world.
ここアメリカではですね、6月の3日の、発売となります。
Specifically here in North America, the game is going to ship on June the 3rd. So you will get your hands on it soon after.
今日は非常に楽しかったです。本当にありがとうございました。
Thank you very much.
We're going to send you one of those play in charge kits. I don't know about you, but Save Points Ninja Cinema, does it get much better? Cool stuff. Anyway, Itagaki-san is one of my heroes, but not just for his recent games like the one you just saw. He's also old school. In fact, he was a programmer of one of my all-time favorite games, Tecmo Super Bowl for the Super Famicom way back in the day. Great game. Anyway, next up, I'd like to invite to the stage a developer from the other side of the world. Like Itagaki-san, he's an industry legend, creating some of the most interesting games out there, including Populous, Dungeon Keeper, Black and White, and of course, Fable, which sold almost 3 million copies on the original Xbox. He's here today all the way from Surrey, England. Please welcome to the stage Peter Molyneux to show us Xbox exclusive Fable 2.
Right, now I'm going to be showing, no surprises, I'm talking about Fable 2. And I'm going to be talking about basically two new features. Now, I think they're cool new features, and I'm going to be demoing and doing a live demo, and that's very scary, by the way. Doing live demos terrifies me. Those Ninja Gaiden people did a good job. Let's talk about the first one. The first thing I'd like to talk about is money. We all love it. We all like it. And in Fable 2, money is very important. You don't get money for doing quests, you get money for doing jobs, and you get money for gambling. And this is something called a pub game. We had them in Fable 1. You can walk into a pub and you play a game, and you can either win or lose your money. And we're going to do that now. This is a game called Keystone, and it's a little bit like a cross between roulette and craps. And I'm going to bet on the number 17. That is my favorite lucky number. I did this when I was a student and lost all my year's grant money on the roll of one roulette wheel, and then had to eat potatoes for a year. But there you go. So I'm just betting away, and now I'm going to roll the dice, and hopefully we'll be lucky. Wow, now that's a coincidence. Lucky 7, lucky 17. And I've won. And great, I've got 1,000 gold, which I can go and spend in the Fable world. Now, is that cool? It's quite nice. It's a lovely game. But here's the surprising thing. What you're seeing there is actually an Xbox Live Arcade game outside of Fable. And what I am able to do is take the money I win from that Xbox Live Arcade game and move it into the Fable world. So here we see, if we just bring up Fable, I'm going to do that now and I take that. This is a dream of mine. Imagine games communicating together. Imagine two games talking. That's exactly what's happened here. I've won on an Xbox Live Arcade game and I transferred it over. We are going to be releasing this Xbox Live Arcade game a few weeks before the launch of Fable 2. So you can go and you can save up some money and you can gamble, and that's when you get your Fable 2 copy, you can already be rich before you start playing the game. That's pretty cool. So here I am in the world, and here's my gold that comes in. That's cool. I now can go and buy stuff. Maybe I can buy stuff from this trader guy. I could buy swords and clothes and whatever, but really what I'm going to do is I want to show you something else. Now, before I do, let me just point out that I am a woman. That isn't a confession. It just so happens that I chose at the start of Fable 2 to play a woman, which is nice. I've found lots of discoveries because you can chat people up, and I've been, you know, it's a real journey for me now. Not only is it a journey because I've been a woman, but in Fable, of course, you can get married and you can have babies. So I have been pregnant. There is no labor minigame, but I was tempted to put one in, I can tell you. Anyway, so transferring that money from an outside game, from an Xbox Live Arcade game to Fable is great. That's fantastic. That's one feature. Now, the next feature I'm going to show off, I need some help. And so I'd like to bring on stage a colleague of mine, Josh Atkins, who's helping with the combat on Fable 2. This is Josh. Big round of applause for Josh.
Thank you very much.
And we're gonna show off the next big feature, and it's this. I've played role-playing games all my life, and I've loved them. I love them, but I've been lonely. And what I really want is co-op, and I want dynamic co-oping, and that's exactly what we're going to give you in Fable 2. We're going to give you the ability to dynamically co-op, and that means at any time, at any point in the game, you can say, I want a friend here in this world now. And that's what Josh is going to demonstrate. He just presses the button, he comes in the game. The hero that he comes in and the henchman he comes in at is based upon his hero in his world if he's playing Fable 2.
I like his haircut.
That's, and you, didn't you look cool because you're a tough man and I'm a poor frail woman.
Oh, I don't think so.
There you go. So let's bring him in the world. That's the first cool feature, that dynamic nature. You don't have to do anything else. The second cool feature is if any experience or gold that Josh earns while he's co-oping in my game, he can bring back into his game. Now that is cool. That means I've played so many co-op games where, you know, you have an experience, you don't get anything for it. So you can sort of keep on earning experience whether you're co-oping in your world or someone else's world. Anyway, let's go down and have a look at this world. Now, as you see, you know, we're a fair way through the world. There's our dog. He's a real artificial intelligence dog. He's going to be pointing things out maybe that I can't see or hear yet. You can't quite hear this. You think you can hear his little growl there. He's pointing something out off the road. That's very important. Off-road, off the path. And I can go and look at that with this thing called Lookout Trigger. These are one of our baddies called Hobbs. They're cute. I like killing them. They're nice to kill.
So that is cool, that really clear vision of what the world is going to be with those lookout triggers. Now let's go and have a look at combat in a little bit more detail. Combat is a big thing. We wanted to create a combat system that was cool enough that anybody could fight. Anybody, whether they'd used a combat game before or not, but that was accessible enough and deep enough that any gamer, and I can promise you this, the gaming combat in this this world is going to be amazing. What you're seeing here is me pressing one button for swords, another button for guns, switching dynamically between swords and guns. And what I am going to be showing soon is what it's like to switch between swords, guns, and magic. All of this works within something called a crescendo combat system, all working under simulation, all working under AI. And I'm really, really pleased with the results. It really is a completely different experience to anything that you've experienced before. Now, we've just got to kill off you.
Oh, you got the last
did I
one.
Got
you got it.
And in practice, we've been getting
competing.
The last ones. Yeah. Anyway, enough of death and mayhem. Let's go and meet my family. Down here, I've got a little farmhouse which I brought with my money, and I moved my family into it. We've been married for 5 years, and we had a baby. That means I was pregnant, as I said. We had a baby, and I haven't been back home for about 6 months now. So let's go and see what the reception's like. You should see, there's my son.
Mom. I thought you'd never come back. Don't ever leave us all alone again.
Well, that's...
I'm going to be an adventurer, my girl.
It's kind of like a trip away to GDC. That's all working under simulation. All of this is complete simulation here. Now let's meet my husband.
Back, are you? Don't expect a welcome party from me.
He's a bit naggy. Now, Josh... This is absolutely true. They were supposed to end this demo where you see my naggy husband, but Josh tried in the rehearsals yesterday, and he did this. And this is completely improv. Go on then, Josh.
Man.
He shot my husband! My poor son is now an orphan! And that moment is real. It's not staged. This is a real simulated world. That husband's not going to come back to life. It's going to pull at your heartstring, and that's what I want. That's the drama I want. All I would warn you is be careful. But just be careful who you invite into your world. So that's Fable 2. Thank you very much for listening. Go shake hands. Bye.
Thanks, Peter. How cool. You can download the pub games before the game. You can amass your gold so when the game comes out, you can buy your own castle. Cool stuff. So both Fable 2 and Ninja Gaiden 2 are just a taste of what will truly be an exceptional year for gaming. They'll be backed up by opportunities for all of you, from professionals to amateurs to aspiring game developers, to share in the creative and commercial success of our industry. We're pushing hard to turn the community into creators. Games by the people, for the people. Because inside each hobbyist programmer, like this guy here, the James Silva, the creator of Dishwasher, who you heard from earlier, there lies the potential to become this guy here, the Molinator. As the poster in my office said, it's all of you that see further, professionals and amateurs alike. You see the possibilities and work every day to bring these possibilities to life. You are all the future of our platforms. The games you delivered last year have brought our industry to record heights.
Thank you.
guys. My name's Cliff Blazinski, and I'm lead designer at Epic Games. And you know, it's a funny thing about rumors on the internet. Once in a while, they're actually true. Now, I want to tell you that Gears 1 was a setup. It was an appetizer for all the characters, the environments, the gameplay mechanics we introduced in the first. Gears 2 is going to be bigger, better, and far more badass than the first game in every way. And today, I'm proud to tell you, Gears of War 2 will be available exclusively on Xbox 360 this November 2008. Thanks for your time, guys. I gotta go kill some locusts. Enjoy the rest of GDC.